sends her regards. More of the same.
You know, I had a surprise tonight. When I first looked down at the beginning, I saw just Stephen and Sam. Sam wasn't there. And then we're singing along here, and I look up, and there's Sam. I didn't see her come in at all. Would you be crawling under the pews to get up there? What's that? Yeah, I did not see you come in, but I look up and there you are. So, all right. Fascinating. Psalm 107, if you will, please. While you're turning to Psalm 107, did you ever say or hear someone say, "I just can't understand why"? Maybe you heard somebody say, "Well, if he only understood," or "Don't you understand?" Frequently, when it comes to the matter of understanding, we don't, or somebody we know may not. To understand means to grasp the meaning of something, the purpose of something. To comprehend something. Another way to put it is, if you understand, you're informed about something. You recognize something. If you're in Psalm 107, I want you to look at verse 43, the very last verse. "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Father, do give us understanding. Help us to know your purpose. Help us to know what these things mean to us and how we are to relate to them. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Frankly, there's lots of times when we're puzzled over a matter and why someone maybe isn't living for the Lord. I know as Pat and I have prayed recently for our grandchildren, we've been puzzled why some of them aren't living for the Lord. we know their homes. We know what their church life was. We know what they were like and what they spoke of as they were 10 and 11, 14 and 15, and yes, even in the senior year. But now, of the 7 grandchildren, there's only one that we know that is outright, ardently living for the Lord. There are 2 or 3 others that are very nominal. They're not living hellish lives. They're not seeing all kinds of bad things that they can get into. But they're not really loving the Lord. And you see, kids of whatever age, when I talk to you and when I challenge you about paying attention and learning, I know one of my grandsons, when he talked to me, he said, "Gramps, he was in contact with some other young men. They were unsaved, okay? And he was in contact with them." This is a few years ago now. And so they would challenge him And he said to me, he said, I don't know, Gramps, what do I tell him? You know? And I reminded him that his Sunday school classes, all his life, Sunday school classes, and the sermons he sat and listened to in church all had the answers.
Oh, yes.
But like some of you,
yes.
He just sat there.
Lord, help us.
He wasn't listening. Having ears to hear, you hear not. You're just here, bodily, but you're not paying attention. You're not learning. You're not absorbing it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get into a setting similar to what he was in. And somebody who knows more than you against your faith is going to talk to you and challenge you. And if you don't learn it now, you're going to be just like him. You're not going to have answers. And then the devil's going to do in you what I believe he started doing in that grandson. He started to plant doubt. Now you know what that's led to at this point. No more church attendance. No more devotions. Oh, he's living a nice life, living a normal life. Anybody that look at him wouldn't think of him as a bad person, because he's not. But he didn't have the answers when he needed them. And you listen to me. I could sit here and I could call you name by name, but if you don't pay attention, if you're not here trying to learn, you are going to be as ignorant as him. Now, I said ignorant. I didn't say stupid.
That's right.
Stupid's like a fool. Ignorant means without knowledge. I'm ignorant about automobiles, mechanical things, okay? And how to drive them, pay for them. but you know, when it comes to fixing an engine, you know, other than spark plugs, and I'm not even sure they don't even have them anymore. What are they, injectors? I'm ignorant there. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm without knowledge about it. And it's going to be a shame, because some of you are going to sit here all of your young lives, and then come 17 or 18, you're going to get out and you're going to get a job that may take you away from home. You may go to a college that may take you away from home. You may go in the military that'll take you away from home. And it's going to put you in contact with people that are going to know more than you do. And you sit here thinking you're so smart.
Yes, sir. Preach it.
But you don't know.
Yes, no.
But Dale and Neil in the teen classes give the information. The children's teachers give foundational Bible stories and Bible lessons that the two teen teachers build on. You come into the services and you sit here and you hear pastor and whoever else is in this pulpit preach. And all you're doing is enduring it and putting in time until lunch, when you can go down and eat. And then go over to the game room. Now the sad thing is, the devil's going to have a heyday in your life. We're fearful of what that young man, he's going to live his life. It's not going to be a bad life. But then he's going to have kids at some point. And those children aren't going to be taken to Sunday school. And on and on I could go. Listen, you need to understand. You may be puzzled over some matters, and we try to understand. We'd like to understand. In my devotional reading, this Psalm 107:43, it just arrested my attention. Another way people say it is it jumped out at me, okay? I get scared when things jump out at me. So. It arrests my attention. As a matter of fact, frequently when I'm reading the Bible, I'm arrested. It just gets my attention. Look, you might want to keep your place in 107. I'm going to go to 111, Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and pray his praise endureth forever. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Okay, we're going to come back and look at that, but right now, these two verses talk about understanding. And back in 107, verse 43, understand, whoso is wise will observe things. So there's one condition to understanding stuff. You have to observe it. You have to observe it. Now that doesn't mean just with the eyes. That means with the whole mind, the ears. You may see, you may hear, but with the brain, you have to get some insight to something. You need to observe these things. And it says there, even they shall understand the loving kindness of God. You see, these grandchildren that grew up, and just like you, when they were like you, they could talk about Christian things. As a matter of fact, they could even sound spiritual. But they didn't hold on to it. And now they've drifted. We're praying when we pray for our grandsons. Mrs. Hain, with tears in her eyes and in her voice, prays for one of the young men from the church.
Amen.
She prays for him as ardently as she prays for our grandsons.
Glory
to God. Yeah. Because he's in the same condition. Now is when you must do something about it.
Yes.
Now, we hold on to that verse that Pastor has preached on and referred to, and that is when they are old, they'll return to it. And just last night when we prayed, she prayed, Lord, even if we don't see it, bring them back to yourself. We'd love to see it. The grandson that was here with his wife this summer visiting with us, I think it was a Wednesday night, and he visited with us. He was in that same route. And he listened to the Lord, because I'm convinced the Lord's speaking to each of the others. Those that are nominal and going to church sometimes, as well as the two that, as far as we know, aren't saved, have no indication of salvation, and yet they've heard the same thing as all of the others. But the one that came, he's going to church. There was a young boy about 10, 11 years old, lived across the road from where they live, near Kansas City. And he went over and asked the boy if he'd like to go along to Sunday school. He said, yeah, he would. So he did. Went a couple different years, and then he got saved. Now, our grandson, John, and his wife, Kristen, that were here, they moved about 5-6 miles away, and the church is in a different direction. And I asked about Alexander, is his name. I thought it was Alexander, but it's not just Alexander. And I asked, I said, how's Alexander doing? Is somebody picking him up? And John said, well, we go back and get him. And then he said, often somebody from church will take him home, because we have to go the opposite way from church to get him. That's good.
Amen.
That's good. That's not too much. That's not too much. He prayed for that boy. He worked with him. He'd have him over to the house and, you know, help out with around the house. And he's nurturing him. That grandson who came is a big encouragement. But where are the other 6 grandkids? 2 of them, as I said, not saved as far as we know. No reason why we'd think they were, because of how they live. They do live hellish lives.
Yeah.
So what is that? 1, 2, 3. At least 4. 4. I told you already, math is not my strong point. At least 4. 2 of them nominal, and 2 of them just doing their own thing. Now listen, parents. You need to be praying for your kids.
Yes.
And I don't mean that you're not.
That's right.
But I mean, your prayers need to be intense.
Yes.
And you need to live faithfully, consistently before them. If something goes wrong in the house, you cannot let yourself lose your cool. I'm not speaking accusatorily. I'm just trying. I don't know what you'd call it, but I'm not accusing anybody. But you listen. You can't be. You lose your. Something goes wrong. You lose your patience. You lose your temper. You cannot swear. I said, I'm not accusing any of doing that. But I wasn't born yesterday either.
Amen.
But you cannot swear. I'm telling you, 4 months of good living will be wiped out with 3 curse words.
Yes, absolutely.
And it'll be like you're starting all over. And just how many times do you think you're going to be able to fail your kids that are watching your Christian life?
Yes.
And they're going to come to a point, what's the use? Doesn't make a difference. Sounds good, looks good at church, but I know what they are at home. Please, please. I think I know what my children were like at home. But I didn't live there. I didn't live with my kids. I raised them until a certain point, and then they went out, and then they got married, and then they established their homes. And again, I know they weren't hellish, but was there a consistent testimony before their kids? Could that be part of the reason for what's not happening in the grandchildren's life? Now, one thing that I must tell you, and this is important, you can do everything right. Okay? You can do everything right, and your kids are going to have to make their choices. But at least if we do everything we know we can right, and we're not perfect. I know we're going to make mistakes. That's why God forgives us. I think I probably ask my kids to forgive me as much as I ask God to forgive me sometimes. It seemed that way in life. I hope it wasn't really so. They have to make their choices. And you have to make your choices. Make right ones. So that if they don't follow through, the guilt won't be on you. If only I had this, if only I had that. You see, that's the hard part.
Yes.
I've told you before, I'm not satisfied with the kind of father I was to my son. What I need to say is I failed when it came to being a father to my son. Remember, I told you several times that when he wanted to shoot basketball hoops, Pat's the one who went out and shot them. Mm-hmm. When he wanted to throw some baseballs, Pat's the one who went out and threw some baseballs. I was too busy doing the Lord's work. Too dumb to realize that raising that boy was the Lord's work.
Amen.
Oh boy, I built a nice church over there at Shingle House. And now it's falling apart. I don't think through my fault, but all that I took my time to invest in, I still have a son. And I cannot get off of my mind. I live with it. It haunts me that I didn't shoot basketball. I didn't throw the baseballs. I didn't do the hiking. No wonder she has such a marvelous relationship with her kids. I can't tell you the depth of relationship she has with them. They love me. I'm their dad. When I've talked to them about these sort of things, they haven't said, "Yeah, Dad, that's exactly what we were thinking too." You know, they've been good about it. But it's what I know. And what I'm telling you, it's what you know that's gonna tear you up. I know they must make choices. My kids, my grandkids, they must make choices. I know that. But you know what? I don't live in their choices. I live in this life. And that's what I have to deal with. Me. And so I plead with you. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Observing these things. We're blessed to be in the kind of church we are, where the truth of the scriptures is given. And another condition, I said the one condition is to observe these things. And another condition is in Psalm 111 and verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." Obeying the commandments of the Lord. There they are. 10 of them. Now there's another, 500 and some in all. There's other commandments of the Lord. And I think we can generalize it in saying the commandments, the Word of God. What the Word of God teaches us. To understand it, to obey it. That's what we have to do. God doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't know. If you have ever said, well, I just don't know. There's a lot about the Bible I don't know. It isn't what you don't know that is your problem or my problem. It's what we do know and don't obey. Well, I didn't grow up in church to know a whole lot. So what? You're in church now. You're hearing now. Are you obeying now what you hear? I'm going to close with this. Man, I have so many notes here. I got a whole other message. It amazes me how the Lord leads. We have a young lady. Oh, I don't know. What is she? Maybe 28? 30 at the most. That I work with, a co-worker. They lived in, I'll tell you what. I think the message is over. So we'll let you.
Yes, sir.